Twitter and Facebook say they are no longer accepting advertising from state-controlled news media. The announcements came just hours after reports that China's largest state-run news agency has been buying ads on Facebook and Twitter that compared protesters in Hong Kong to cockroaches and Islamic State terrorists. For more on this coordinated effort to sway global opinion, let's bring in Sarah Cook. She's a senior analyst at Freedom House, a group that promotes democracy around the world. China, by the way, considers the group a propaganda arm of the U.S. government. She's also director of the China Media Bulletin. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, nice to be here.
And first, your response to the news that the Chinese government is behind this propaganda campaign on Facebook and Twitter to paint the protesters in Hong Kong as terrorists.
I'm not entirely surprised, because even if you just look at the Twitter accounts or the Facebook pages of both the Chinese language versions, but especially the English language versions of Chinese state media, this is exactly the kind of content that they've been posting organically on their accounts. So then to see that they're using advertising to amplify it or a network of other accounts to amplify it isn't really entirely surprising.
Now, Facebook and Twitter are completely banned in mainland China. So what's the strategy about? What do they gain by targeting the global audience?
Well, something to keep in mind is that it's not always just targeted at the so-called West, the United States, the UK. Actually, if you look at who their followers are, it's very clear that they're actually targeting much of the developing world. Hmm. So it's really people in Indonesia, in Nigeria, in Turkey, in other places around the world where I think there's a sense that they have more likelihood to have an impact. It's easier a bit to muddy the waters, but it's quite important for China and Chinese state media to try to maintain their credibility. And these are places where it's a little easier to believe also some of these kinds of narratives related to protesters being violent or the CIA supposedly behind it.
Well, it seems like the information war that they're waging might be having an impact. Here's some of the protest sound that we heard over the weekend. This is in Toronto when pro-democracy Hong Kong protesters got into a clash with mainland supporters. And those confrontations happened in major Western cities around the world. About 60 million Chinese people live abroad. How receptive is that diaspora to Beijing's influence?
I think it depends, but it is quite susceptible because one of the other things that the Chinese government has really built up over the years has been quite a bit of control and influence over the Chinese diaspora media, particularly television. Chinese state media is watched all over the world. If you look at the markets in the United States, it's really dominant. Chinese people everywhere can watch it. And I used to live in Queens, and I walked into the local Chinese restaurant, and CCTV was on TV. And I was a little bit shocked. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
The state broadcaster, yes. So from that perspective, they're very influential. But they're also very influential increasingly because of WeChat, which is a Chinese social media platform that is very popular. It's ubiquitous inside China, and many members of the Chinese diaspora, especially overseas Chinese students, will use that as a primary source of news, even when they're outside China and have access not only to independent English language news reporting, but also independent or critical Chinese news reporting, whether it's from the Chinese version of the New York Times or some of the independent Chinese language media from Hong Kong or from other parts of the Chinese diaspora.
Well,
and so
right.
A lot of these protests have actually been overseas Chinese students who have, you know, absorbed the narrative from the Chinese state media and in general also have a little bit more of a kind of nationalistic leaning. There are many people in the Chinese diaspora who are supportive of the Hong Kong protests too, but sometimes they're also afraid of being so public about it because they have family in China and they're afraid that there's going to be retribution against them there for speaking out.
Well, to that point, does the Chinese government worry that when its citizens go abroad to study or to work in places like the United States or Canada, that they'll be awakened to democratic ideas and freedoms that are enjoyed in those countries?
Absolutely. That's why they take so much effort to influence the media environment outside of China. And in the case of Chinese students and some other populations, there's real efforts by the Chinese consulates to try to maintain control and even really intimidate some of the Chinese student groups at different universities. So they're very much aware and trying to prevent that. And it's partly a lesson from history, because in 1989, when there were mass protests in China, there was a lot of support by overseas Chinese, and it kind of shocked Beijing after the crackdown in the Tiananmen Square massacre. So that was really when they set out to systematically try to regain the upper hand in terms of control over the diaspora and diaspora media outside China.
And how much of this is part of a larger strategy by President Xi, who has said that he wants to unite Chinese people around the world?
Well, this kind of strategy really precedes Xi Jinping, but it certainly is a part of that approach. And this idea that all Chinese people belong to China, no matter where they live, no matter their citizenship, there's definitely this sense that anyone who is really ethnically Chinese should be loyal, not so much to China, but loyal to the Chinese Communist Party. And in some cases, that's part of what really upsets and probably frustrates Xi and the Communist Party in terms of what's happening in Hong Kong, because here you have a lot of ethnic Chinese people saying, look, we don't really want your Communist Party political system. We want an open and democratic and representative political system here. And that goes very much against what the Chinese Communist Party is trying to achieve.
Sarah Cook is senior analyst at Freedom House and director for the China Media Bulletin. Sarah, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.